If you'll take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, once again, I'm starting out in the New Testament, kind of like we did in the morning, where we got their scripture reading from the New Testament, and then I go back into the Old Testament. And, you know, kind of amazing, isn't it, how this Bible seems to fit together from one end to the other. Just odd how that worked out, isn't it? James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right there is that second verse. That's our verse for this evening. So remember that one. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. We're going to stop our reading there. Let's open with prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we do come to you again, realizing that this is your words we are coming to tonight again. Once again, Lord, we ask your guidance as we go into your word, that we will understand what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you want to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We'll start reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I'm going to stop right there. We all know this story, Abraham. You know, he was 100 years old when he had this son that God had promised. He had promised to send him a son through his wife, Sarah. We talked a little bit about that this morning. How, even when they were old, you know, how Sarah, she was 89 years old, just about 90 years old, and God stopped and talked to him again. And he says, Yep, next year when I come at this time, you're going to have a son. And she, you know, kind of laughs. Says, Yeah, right, Lord. I'm 90 years old. I'm going to have a son. And sure enough, she had a son. God had told them he is to be named Isaac. And God had also said, Through Isaac, I will make a covenant with you. He said, Through Isaac, the whole world will be blessed. What does that mean? That means that the whole world will be blessed because the Messiah is going to come through his line. And so Abraham knew this. He knew that Isaac was the promised son. He knew that Isaac, through Isaac, that his descendants were going to be as numerous as the stars. He knew all this. But what else did Abraham know? He knew the voice of God. We talked a little bit about that this morning, how Abraham, we don't know how Abraham heard God, if it was an audible voice or what it was, but God came and talked with Abraham several times through the scriptures here, and God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, Abraham knew his voice. now God is asking him to do something that is really odd. You know, we talked this morning how when Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed, how Abraham said, "Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? I know you better than that, God. I know you wouldn't do that." But now, this comes to this passage. Go and offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Wouldn't you think Abraham would all of a sudden say, "Wait a minute, Lord, I know you better than that. You don't want a child sacrifice. You don't want this." But Abraham did know the Lord better. This is just amazing passage of faith. Let's read on a little more. Verse 3, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off." Now, what does that say? Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. You know, so many times when God speaks and it's something we don't want to hear, it's like, "Well, Lord, you know, maybe I'll just pray about this for another week, or I'll pray about this for another month." You know, wouldn't you say, "You know, God, I want to make sure this is what you said. You know, you said, go offer my son as a burnt offering. Is that, you know, really what you said? I know you're speaking to me. I know I've heard your voice a lot. I know what your voice sounds like. But wouldn't you say, you know, maybe we ought to just pray about this because this can't be right?" But what does it say? The next morning, he got up right away, got his morning exercise, split some wood. I'm sure he had some servants do that. This guy was like 120. But he split some wood. And he started out right away. He didn't hesitate. He just started out. He says, "I've followed you all my life, God. You say move, I'm moving." Isn't that amazing? Verse 5, "And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder, worship, and we will come back to you." Notice he said, "We will come back to you." We'll go on. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, do you suppose Abraham knew God was going to provide, you know, we know later he provided a ram for a substitute. Do you think he knew that would happen? I don't. He doesn't know what's going to happen other than Abraham was trusting God all the way here. Verse 9, "Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. You think about, okay, this guy, you know, a dad grabbing his little kid, you know, tying him up. Isaac was anywhere from a late teen to early 20s. He was not in any shape that he could not have said, whoa, Dad, you're 120 some years old. I think I can, you know, say not this time. Because by this point, Isaac had caught on. When Abraham says, give me your hands, and he tied him up, I think right then Isaac saying, what's going on, Dad? Now, Abraham was trusting God. He knew that Isaac was the promised son. Abraham had an idea in his head. He said, you know what? God is going to do some sort of miracle here. He said, I know God doesn't want human sacrifice. He knows this. But he said, if God wants me to kill my son, I know God can raise him from the dead. I have no idea why God would want me to kill him just so he can raise him back from the dead, but he thought that's probably what was going to happen. And so he had to explain that to Isaac, obviously, because, like I say, time you're binding Isaac's hand and, you know, laying Isaac up there on the altar, Isaac probably could have really fought back, but Isaac had this faith too. His faith had been passed down from his father, saying, okay, you trust this God, I trust this God. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You know, God said, now I know the faith you have, Abraham. Did God not know Abraham's faith before this? God knew Abraham trusted him wholeheartedly. But did Abraham know he trusted God wholeheartedly? At this point, it is testing God brought into his life. He says, I'm going to bring a test in there. God knew what the outcome was going to be. God knows the future. He says, yes, I'm going to bring a test into your life. How many times he brings, you know, a test into our life that hopefully we pass. Sometimes we fail. And we sometimes, you know, we say, how could I have blown that? That was, I know better. But other times we say, wow, I stood for the Lord in that situation. Woohoo, great. And this is the thing, doesn't it just build your faith when you have a test and you pass it? You say, yes. When we have a test and we fail it, we say, Lord, forgive me. Please, I will do better next time. But every test is faith strengthening. And that's what this was for Abraham. So when you're tested, don't say, oh, poor, miserable me, you know, oh, you know. You say, wow, God wants to show me something through this. I don't know what. And sometimes we say, I sure wish, you know, I'd learn it quick so he doesn't have to make this test any longer. But we do have to go through things as long as we're on this earth. Verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. You know, Abraham passed this test. God said, because you passed this test, I will bless you greatly. So many times, God is waiting to bless us too. He brings tests into our life. And I don't know what situation, like we talked about this morning, God is in control of every little situation. You know, had Lot's wife still been moving, there had been a pile of salt behind her, but not on top of her. But if we are doing God's will, and when God brings test, he's just waiting to say, hey, I've got blessings for you. I have things I want to give you, but you have to follow me to get them. Please follow me. You know, God doesn't say, yeah, you know, if you follow me wholeheartedly, obey all 10 commandments your whole life, which you're not going to do. But if you can obey everything in here, I'm going to make you, you know, the wealthiest person in the world and give you the finest house and the best of everything. He doesn't say that. There are many more blessings besides material blessings. He does bless people materially too. He takes care of us. Well, that is my first lesson. We got time. Let's move on to chapter 24. Chapter 24. I was telling Tammy, I says, you know, I'm going to try and get two of these in tonight, two of these lessons. And I said, you know, normally these are longer ones, but I think I can do this. Now, the second one's a little longer, but I don't have as much, shall we say, commentary on it. So, let's see what we can do. Once again, we're talking about the faith of Abraham, but serving God. And this time we're going to talk about God when He does provide blessings for us. He wants the best for us. I mean, so many times we talk, you know, you say, well, you know, if I follow God, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do a secondhand everything. You know, I'm sure that's what God wants, you know. Maybe it is. We live on some really nice secondhand stuff. You'd be surprised what people throw in dumpsters. well, I mean, Goodwill and that. But it's kind of funny. I'll give you this little story. When my kids were younger, we used to go to Love Incorporated a lot, and we picked up the cardboard from Love Incorporated. You can imagine everybody brings everything in boxes, and we picked up the cardboard. We had a lot more cattle back then, and we would throw the cardboard by the cows, and they would use that for bedding. They would, you know, get that dirty, and so that's what they laid on, all the cardboard. Well, every time we'd go pick up the cardboard, there's the dumpster at Love Incorporated, and the kids, of course, would all go pick through the dumpster at Love Incorporated. So, you know, when it doesn't go through the Love Incorporated, gets to their dumpster, you know, it's probably stuff nobody else wanted, but we found some pretty good stuff in there. Hey, I found a brand new welding helmet in there one time. I still got that. I don't recall all the stuff, but they always came home with treasures. So. But we're getting way off topic. So, chapter 24. Now, Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you come?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from your oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. So Abraham's called his servant in and says, "I want you to go back to the land where I came from, to my relation, and get a wife there," because he knew that the Canaanites were idol worshippers, and he did not want his son to take an ungodly woman. Once again, for all you young people that are not married yet, hit this so many times. Remember, when you start dating even, look for a Christian. Don't start dating somebody that's not a Christian and say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be a witness to him while we date." Might not happen. You must do what the Lord says. Do not be unequally yoked. And so that's why Abraham, he says, take a wife from there. But he said, "Do not send my son back there." You know, he didn't say that because he thought, you know, well, Isaac is, going to go back there and he's going to think it's a nicer place and stay? Maybe a little, but he wanted to follow God. He wanted his son to follow God. What had God told Abraham to do? Leave the land of your parents. Leave that land and go to a place I will show you. And he told him, all this land of Canaan I will give you. This is your land. You know, I know somebody else owns it now, but it is your land, Abraham. And then Abraham was telling Isaac, this is our home. He said, we're going to stay here because this is where God wants us. I don't even want you traveling back there. I mean, back to the land where he was, where his servant was headed. It was about 450 miles, I guess. It was a long travel. So he said, just stay here because this is where God wants us. Our servant will take care of getting you a wife. How would you like that, young people? Somebody else will go take care of getting you a wife. Or young ladies, somebody else will show up and get you a husband. Don't worry, he'll be fine. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the evening time, when the women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success that day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know, as his servant, I always thought that prayer was just a little bit odd. Because the servant is trusting God, but yet, you know, he's saying, let the woman I choose. You know, so lead me to the right woman, but yet I want to have a little bit in this too yet. Because he was saying, I have to go up to her and initiate everything. It wasn't like, you know, Lord, will you please send the right girl over here and let her, you know, say, I'm going to, here, want a drink of water and water my can I water your camels? He says, let the girl I go to. So, this was Eliezer, by the way. He was saying, okay, you know, he trusted God, but yeah, he wanted a little bit of say in this too. Well, it worked out. Verse 15. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Michael, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. You know, the servant, he was praying this prayer, but isn't God gracious? He looked up and he saw her. He says, whoa, she's pretty. This guy was 85 years old. He says, wow, she's pretty. She ought to be the one for my master's son. He wanted the best for his master's son. And he says, that's got to be her. And so he ran to meet her. I mean, she was dipping the water down and says, well, I got to get over there before she leaves. Verse 18. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. Now you say, okay, you know, that's nice of her. That was nice. She drew a little water for the camels. He had 10 camels. According to the things I read, each one of those camels, probably after his trip, was drinking about 25 gallons each. She made a few trips to the well. This was no small thing for her to say, yes, let me water your camels too. This was, I mean, she had to be one special girl to do that. I mean, it was not only a case of, yeah, here, I'll just dip a couple pitcherfuls in there. And, you know, this was some work she offered to do. And so not only was she beautiful, she was somebody that knew how to, wasn't afraid to work, and was a very nice girl, obviously, to say, yeah, I'll do that for you. Because he didn't ask her to water the camels, she offered. And it's like, wow, she's an amazing girl. Verse 21, and the man wondering at her remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Michael's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. So this, she got done finishing watering the camels, and this guy, he goes over and says, here, I've got an engagement nose ring for you. How would you like that? A nose ring? No, you know, first she's sitting there, you're 85 years old. I don't, no, it's for my master's son. But gave her a nose ring and two bracelets. Now, these were gold bracelets, you know, weighing, the nose ring was half a shekel, the bracelets, the two bracelets weighed about 10 shekels of gold. In today's money, that's about $6,000 to $10,000 worth of jewelry he just put on this girl. And says, here, I got a few things for you, little trinkets. Pretty nice trinkets. Verse 26, then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy, his truth toward my master, is not for his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way of the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and went, when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah, saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by his camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for your camp for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. You know, Abraham's servant bowed and blessed God. You know, when we see answered prayer, how often do we just pass by? Oh, great, you know, that trial is over. Or great, that's happened. But you know what? Remember to thank God, even for the little things. I mean, so many times we take it for granted. We sit down to eat our lunch or whatever, and we say, Lord, thank you for this food, amen. You know, who are we talking to? We're talking to God. And yes, he did provide that food. You say, oh no, I went and bought that food. He provided you a way to get the finances to buy that food. I mean, there's places in the world where people are fortunate to have a meal. But so many things in life, don't forget, stop. Thank the Lord, as Abraham's servant did. He says, I know that you have made my journey prosperous. Well, then Laban, of course, he saw the gold on his sister, and he said, whoa, those are worth a few dollars, he said. Where's this guy? He wants to stay here? Yeah, sure. Some guy that's given presents like that. We'll let him stay. And so he went and he got the man to come in, and he says, let me tell you, you know, he says, sit down, let's eat. But before they ate, he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you why I'm here. And then he told him the story of how his master had a son, Isaac, while he was old. And he told him that how Isaac was, you know, his mother had passed away. I forgot to mention that earlier, that Sarah, his mother, had died. And they'd buried her, and that Isaac was really lonely. And he was of the age, and his master had sent him to find a wife, and he told him how he'd pray and that God had worked this miracle that Rebecca would come out and offer to water the camels, and he told them all that, and they said, "Oh, okay, if that's what God wants, then that must be what she must do. She's got to go marry this guy she's never met." Verse 50, we're jumping ahead a ways. "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing that comes from the Lord, we cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before her. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son wife, as the Lord has spoken.' And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Once again he thanked the Lord. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah." So just that couple $1,000 was nothing compared to what he started giving her. I mean, let's start your jewelry collection and your wardrobe right now. He said, "My master's really, really wealthy. You're marrying a rich guy." He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. They kind of like that too. That's always nice, getting good with the in-laws. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "Oh, I will go." Well, how do you like that? Wouldn't you have the same reaction? Here this guy shows up, and this 80-year-old guy with lots of gifts, servants and camels, and he says, "You know what? The Lord has declared that your daughter is going to come with me 450 miles away, marry my master's son." He's a really nice guy. And I want to leave right away. Wouldn't you say what her brother and mother said, think we can, at least say goodbye to her for a few days. Let's just, that way we can, give her motherly advice and brotherly advice before the wedding and all that stuff, because they're not going to come to the wedding or anything like that. And we're probably never going to see her again in our life. They're sending this young girl away to marry somebody. And I think what they had was a fair enough request. But the servant said, no, I really want to get on my way. I know this is of God. And if God says do it, I want to do like my master Abraham. God says go, I want to go now. I want to be a follower like Abraham. And so they asked Rebekah, this guy wants to leave right away. He doesn't even want us to have goodbyes. Will you go with him? And she says, "Yeah, okay, why not? I'm leaving you anyway." She says, "I wanted to get out of the house for a while." typical teenager. And so she says, "Yeah, I will go." Verse 59, "So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'O sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them.'" That's pretty much the same blessing God had given earlier in Genesis here when he was talking to Abraham. And these people didn't even know they were speaking the prophetic words of God when they blessed their sister. Verse 61, "Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on camels and followed the man. So the servants took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai, and he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening." Now right there, what was Isaac doing? He was out meditating. What does that mean he was doing? He was out just thinking, talking with God and thinking about God, thinking about a lot of things. I've told you before that, meditate, or in other places called muse, muse about things means meditate or think about things. I've told you this before, you know, if you put an A in front of the word, it means not. So when you say amuse, it means not to think. You know, we have whole parks saying not to think. And we just spend so much of our time, you know, sitting in front of the TV, sitting in front of the computer screen. We got email. We got so many things occupy our time to amuse us. You know, we say, oh, okay, we have to do this. You know, we have to be busy checking our computer for whatever. We have to take time. You know, I'm so busy. I need to relax playing video games or whatever. I just need to take my mind off everything. And well, to take your mind off everything, just kind of focus on all this other stuff. You don't have to do that. How about just stop? Go to a quiet place and think about God. Think about the things you've learned about God. Maybe on Sunday morning or evening that you've learned about God, or what you've read in your devotions. Take your Bible and pray. Talk to God and just get alone. Spend some time with none of this stuff on and say, Lord, You are a great God. And that's, Isaac was out meditating, thinking about things. Sounds like Rebecca's headed toward a godly man too. He lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. You know, he knew what was coming on those camels. He knew where his father Abraham had sent his servant. He says, wow, I'm going to get married. I'm going to get married. You can imagine, he was human. He was sitting there saying he'd never seen this girl. He didn't have any clue what Eliezer's taste in girls would be. I mean, he could have, you know, brought back somebody weighing 500 pounds, you know, saying, yeah, she's going to last a while. he didn't know. But God is good. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camels, and she said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Even back then, this was the custom, put a veil over her face. And at this point, you know, nowadays, you know, the women wear a veil on their wedding day. This girl wore a veil. He never even got to see her face until they were married. How would you like that? You never even get to see what the girl looks like until you're married. Verse 66, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isn't that a wonderful ending to that story? And he loved her. You know, you can just imagine. You know, you go through all this and we say, you know, how could they do that? Get married without ever seeing or knowing anything about who they are marrying. You know, you got to trust your parents, and in this case, she's got to trust the servant. But you say, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, once again, I'm starting out in the New Testament, kind of like we did in the morning, where we got the scripture reading from the New Testament, and we go back into the Old Testament. And, you know, kind of amazing, isn't it, how this Bible seems to fit together from one end to the other. Just odd how that worked out, isn't it? James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right there is that second verse. That's our verse for this evening. So remember that one. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. We're going to stop our reading there. Let's open with prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we do come to you again, realizing that this is your words we are coming to tonight again. Once again, Lord, we ask your guidance as we go into your word, that we will understand what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you want to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. We'll start reading in verse 1. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. We're going to stop right there. We all know this story, Abraham. You know, he was 100 years old when he had this son that God had promised. He had promised to send him a son through his wife, Sarah. We talked a little bit about that this morning. How, even when they were old, you know, how Sarah, she was 89 years old, just about 90 years old, and God stopped and talked to him again, and he says, Yep, next year when I come at this time, you're going to have a son. And she, you know, kind of laughs, says, Yeah, right, Lord, I'm 90 years old. I'm going to have a son. And sure enough, she had a son. God had told them he is to be named Isaac. And God had also said, Through Isaac, I will make a covenant with you. He said, Through Isaac, the whole world will be blessed. What does that mean? That means that the whole world will be blessed because the Messiah is going to come through his line. And so Abraham knew this. He knew that Isaac was the promised son. He knew that Isaac, through Isaac, that his descendants were going to be as numerous as the stars. He knew all this. But what else did Abraham know? He knew the voice of God. We talked a little bit about that this morning, how Abraham, we don't know how Abraham heard God, if it was an audible voice or what it was, but God came and talked with Abraham several times through the scriptures here, and God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, Abraham knew his voice. Now, God is asking him to do something that is really odd. You know, we talked this morning how when Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed, how Abraham said, Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? I know you better than that, God. I know you wouldn't do that. But now, this comes to this passage. Go and offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Wouldn't you think Abraham would all of a sudden say, Wait a minute, Lord, I know you better than that. You don't want a child sacrifice. You don't want this. But Abraham did know the Lord better. This is just amazing passage of faith. Let's read on a little more. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, what does that say? Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. You know, so many times when God speaks and it's something we don't want to hear. It's like, well, Lord, you know, maybe I'll just pray about this for another week, or I'll pray about this for another month. You know, wouldn't you say, you know, God, I want to make sure this is what you said. You know, you said, go offer my son as a burnt offering. Is that, you know, really what you said? I know you're speaking to me. I know I've heard your voice a lot. I know what your voice sounds like. But wouldn't you say, you know, maybe we ought to just pray about this because this can't be right? But what does it say? The next morning, he got up right away, got his morning exercise, split some wood. I'm sure he had some servants do that. This guy was like 120. But he split some wood and he started out right away. He didn't hesitate. He just started out. He says, I've followed you all my life, God. You say move, I'm moving. Isn't that amazing? Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder, worship, and we will come back to you. Notice he said, we will come back to you. We'll go on. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, do you suppose Abraham knew God was going to provide, you know, we know later he provided a ram for a substitute. Do you think he knew that would happen? I don't. He doesn't know what's going to happen, other than Abraham was trusting God all the way here. Verse 9, then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. You think about, okay, this guy, you know, a dad grabbing his little kid, you know, tying him up. Isaac was anywhere from a late teen to early 20s. He was not in any shape that he could not have said, whoa, Dad, you're 120-some years old. I think I can, you know, say, not this time. Because by this point, Isaac had caught on. When Abraham says, give me your hands, and he tied him up, I think right then Isaac saying, what's going on, Dad? Now, Abraham was trusting God. He knew that Isaac was the promised son. Abraham had an idea in his head. He said, you know what? God is going to do some sort of miracle here. He said, I know God doesn't want human sacrifice. He knows this. But he said, if God wants me to kill my son, I know God can raise him from the dead. I have no idea why God would want me to kill him just so he can raise him back from the dead, but he thought that's probably what was going to happen. And so he had to explain that to Isaac, obviously, because, like I say, the time you're binding Isaac's hand and, you know, laying Isaac up there on the altar, Isaac probably could have really fought back, but Isaac had this faith too. His faith had been passed down from his father, saying, okay, you trust this God, I trust this God. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You know, God said, now I know the faith you have, Abraham. Did God not know Abraham's faith before this? God knew Abraham trusted him wholeheartedly. But did Abraham know he trusted God wholeheartedly? At this point, it is testing God brought into his life. He says, I'm going to bring a test in there. God knew what the outcome was going to be. God knows the future. He says, yes, I'm going to bring a test into your life. How many times he brings, you know, test into our life that hopefully we pass. Sometimes we fail. And we sometimes, you know, we say, how could I have blown that? I know better. But other times we say, wow, I stood for the Lord in that situation. Woohoo, great. And this is the thing. Doesn't it just build your faith when you have a test and you pass it? You say, yes. When we have a test and we fail it, we say, Lord, forgive me. Please, I will do better next time. But every test is faith strengthening. And that's what this was for Abraham. So when you're tested, don't say, oh, poor, miserable me, you know, oh, you know. You say, wow, God wants to show me something through this. I don't know what. And sometimes we say, I sure wish, you know, I'd learn it quick so he doesn't have to make this test any longer. But we do have to go through things as long as we're on this earth. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. You know, Abraham passed this test. God said, because you passed this test, I will bless you greatly. So many times, God is waiting to bless us too. He brings tests into our life, and I don't know what situation, like we talked about this morning, God is in control of every little situation. You know, had Lot's wife still been moving, there had been a pile of salt behind her, but not on top of her. But if we are doing God's will, and when God brings tests, He's just waiting to say, hey, I've got blessings for you. I have things I want to give you, but you have to follow me to get them. Please, follow me. You know, God doesn't say, yeah, you know, if you follow me wholeheartedly, obey all 10 commandments your whole life, which you're not going to do, but if you can obey everything in here, I'm going to make you, you know, the wealthiest person in the world and give you the finest house and the best of everything. He doesn't say that. There are many more blessings besides material blessings. He does bless people materially too. He takes care of us. Well, that is my first lesson. We got time. Let's move on to chapter 24. Chapter 24. I was telling Tammy, I says, you know, I'm going to try and get two of these in tonight, two of these lessons. And I said, you know, normally these are longer ones, but I think I can do this. Now, the second one's a little longer, but I don't have as much, shall we say, commentary on it. So let's see what we can do. Once again, we're talking about the faith of Abraham, but serving God. And this time we're going to talk about God. When he does provide blessings for us, He wants the best for us. I mean, so many times we talk, you know, you say, well, you know, if I follow God, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do a secondhand everything. You know, I'm sure that's what God wants, you know. Maybe it is. We live on some really nice secondhand stuff. You'd be surprised what people throw in dumpsters. well, I mean, Goodwill and that. But it's kind of funny. I'll give you this little story. When my kids were younger, we used to go to Love Incorporated a lot, and we picked up the cardboard from Love Incorporated. You can imagine everybody brings everything in boxes, and we picked up the cardboard. We had a lot more cattle back then, and we would throw the cardboard into the by the cows, and they would use that for bedding. They would, you know, get that dirty, and so that's what they laid on, all the cardboard. Well, every time we'd go pick up the cardboard, there's the dumpster at Love Incorporated, and the kids, of course, would all go pick through the dumpster at Love Incorporated. So, you know, when it doesn't go through the Love Incorporated, gets to their dumpster, you know, it's probably stuff nobody else wanted. But we found some pretty good stuff in there. Hey, I found a brand new welding helmet in there one time. I still got that. I don't recall all the stuff, but they always came home with treasures. So. But we're getting way off topic. So, chapter 24. Now, Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you come?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from your oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. So Abraham's called his servant in and says, "I want you to go back to the land where I came from, to my relation, and get a wife there," because he knew that the Canaanites were idol worshippers, and he did not want his son to take an ungodly woman. Once again, for all you young people that are not married yet, hit this so many times. Remember, when you start dating even, look for a Christian. Don't start dating somebody that's not a Christian and say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be a witness to him while we date." Might not happen. You must do what the Lord says. Do not be unequally yoked. And so that's why Abraham, he says, take a wife from there. But he said, "Do not send my son back there." You know, he didn't say that because he thought, you know, well, Isaac is, you know, going to go back there and he's going to think it's a nicer place and stay. Maybe a little, but he wanted to follow God. He wanted his son to follow God. What had God told Abraham to do? Leave the land of your parents. Leave that land and go to a place I will show you. And he told him, "All this land of Canaan I will give you. This is your land. You know, I know somebody else owns it now, but it is your land, Abraham." And then Abraham was telling Isaac, "This is our home." He said, "We're going to stay here because this is where God wants us. I don't even want you traveling back there." I mean, back to the land where he was, where his servant was headed, it was about 450 miles, I guess. It was a long travel. So he said, "Just stay here because this is where God wants us. Our servant will take care of getting you a wife." How would you like that, young people? Somebody else will go take care of getting you a wife. Or young ladies, somebody else will show up and get you a husband. Don't worry, it'll be fine. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. at the evening time, when the women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success that day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know, as his servant, I always thought that prayer was just a little bit odd. Because the servant is trusting God, but yet, you know, he's saying, let the woman I choose. You know, so lead me to the right woman, but yet I want to have a little bit in this too yet. Because he was saying, I have to go up to her and initiate everything. It wasn't like, you know, Lord, will you please send the right girl over here and let her, you know, say, I'm going to, here, want a drink of water and water my can I water your camels? He says, let the girl I go to. So, this was Eliezer, by the way. He was saying, okay, you know, he trusted God, but yeah, he wanted a little bit of say in this too. Well, it worked out. Verse 15. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Michael, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. You know, the servant, he was praying this prayer, but isn't God gracious? He looked up, and he saw her. He says, whoa, she's pretty. This guy was 85 years old. He says, wow, she's pretty. She ought to be the one for my master's son. He wanted the best for his master's son. And he says, that's got to be her. And so he ran to meet her. I mean, she was dipping the water down and says, well, I got to get over there before she leaves. Verse 18. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. Now you say, okay, you know, that's nice of her. That was nice. She drew a little water for the camels. He had 10 camels. According to the things I read, each one of those camels, probably after his trip, was drinking about 25 gallons each. She made a few trips to the well. This was no small thing for her to say, yes, let me water your camels too. This was, I mean, she had to be one special girl to do that. I mean, it was not only a case of, yeah, here, I'll just dip a couple pitcherfuls in there, and, you know, this was some work she offered to do. And so not only was she beautiful, she was somebody that knew how to, wasn't afraid to work, and was a very nice girl, obviously, to say, yeah, I'll do that for you. Because he didn't ask her to water the camels, she offered. And it's like, wow. She's an amazing girl. Verse 21. And the man wondering at her remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Michael's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. So this, she got done finishing watering the camels, and this guy, he goes over and says, here, I've got an engagement nose ring for you. how would you like that? A nose ring? No, you know, first she's sitting there, you're 85 years old. I don't, no, it's for my master's son. But gave her a nose ring and two bracelets. Now, these were gold bracelets, you know, weighing, the nose ring was half a shekel, the bracelets, the two bracelets weighed about 10 shekels of gold. In today's money, that's about $6,000 to $10,000 worth of jewelry he just put on this girl. And says, here, I got a few things for you, little trinkets. Pretty nice trinkets. Verse 26, then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy, his truth toward my master, is not for his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way of the Lord, led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and went when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah, saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by his camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord, why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for your camp for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. You know, Abraham's servant bowed and blessed God. You know, when we see answered prayer, how often do we just pass by? Oh, great, you know, that trial is over. Or great, that's happened. But you know what? Remember to thank God, even for the little things. I mean, so many times we take it for granted. We sit down to eat our lunch or whatever, and we say, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. You know, who are we talking to? We're talking to God. And yes, he did provide that food. You say, oh, no, I went and bought that food. He provided you a way to get the finances to buy that food. I mean, there's places in the world where people are fortunate to have a meal. But so many things in life, don't forget, stop. Thank the Lord, as Abraham's servant did. He says, I know that you have made my journey prosperous. Well, then Laban, of course, he saw the gold on his sister, and he said, whoa, those are worth a few dollars, he said. Where's this guy? He wants to stay here? Yeah, sure. Some guy that's given presents like that, we'll let him stay. And so he went, and he got the man to come in, and he says, let me tell you, you know, he says, sit down, let's eat. But before they ate, he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you why I'm here. And then he told him the story of how his master had a son, Isaac, while he was old. And he told him that how Isaac was, you know, his mother had passed away. I forgot to mention that earlier, that Sarah, his mother, had died. And they'd buried her. And that Isaac was really lonely. And he was of the age, and his master had sent him to find a wife. And he told him how he'd pray, and that God had worked this miracle that Rebecca would come out and offer to water the camels. And he told them all that. And they said, oh, okay, if that's what God wants, then that must be what she must do. She's got to go marry this guy she's never met. Verse 50, we're jumping ahead a ways. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing that comes from the Lord, we cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before her. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Once again, he thanked the Lord. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. So just that couple $1,000 was nothing compared to what he started giving her. I mean, let's start your jewelry collection and your wardrobe right now. He said, my master's really, really wealthy. You're marrying a rich guy. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. They kind of like that too. That's always nice, getting good with the in-laws. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "Oh, I will go." Well, how do you like that? Wouldn't you have the same reaction? Here this guy shows up, and this 80-year-old guy with lots of gifts, servants and camels, and he says, "You know what? The Lord has declared that your daughter is going to come with me 450 miles away, marry my master's son. He's a really nice guy. And I want to leave right away." Wouldn't you say what her brother and mother said? Think we can, at least say goodbye to her for a few days. Let's just, that way we can, give her motherly advice and brotherly advice before the wedding and all that stuff, because they're not going to come to the wedding or anything like that. And we're probably never going to see her again in our life. They're sending this young girl away to marry somebody. And I think what they had was a fair enough request. But the servant said, no, I really want to get on my way. I know this is of God. And if God says do it, I want to do like my master Abraham. God says go, I want to go now. I want to be a follower like Abraham. And so they ask Rebekah, this guy wants to leave right away. He doesn't even want us to have goodbyes. Will you go with him? And she says, "Yeah, okay, why not? I'm leaving you anyway." She says, "I wanted to get out of the house for a while." typical teenager. and so she says, "Yeah, I will go." Verse 59, "So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'O sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them.'" That's pretty much the same blessing God had given earlier in Genesis here when he was talking to Abraham. And these people didn't even know they were speaking the prophetic words of God when they blessed their sister. Verse 61, "Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on camels and followed the man. So the servants took Rebekah and departed." Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lah-Rah, and he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. Now right there, what was Isaac doing? He was out meditating. What does that mean he was doing? He was out just thinking, talking with God and thinking about God, thinking about a lot of things. I've told you before that, meditate, or in other places called muse, muse about things means meditate or think about things. I've told you this before, if you put an A in front of the word, it means not. So when you say a muse, it means not to think. We have whole parks saying not to think. And we just spend so much of our time, sitting in front of the TV, sitting in front of the computer screen. We got email. We got so many things occupy our time to amuse us. We say, "Oh, okay, we have to do this. We have to be busy checking our computer for whatever. We have to take time. I'm so busy. I need to relax playing video games or whatever. I just need to take my mind off everything." And well, to take your mind off everything, just kind of focus on all this other stuff. You don't have to do that. How about just stop? Go to a quiet place and think about God. Think about the things you've learned about God. Maybe on Sunday morning or evening that you've learned about God, or what you've read in your devotions. Take your Bible and pray. Talk to God and just get alone. Spend some time with none of this stuff on and say, "Lord, you are a great God." And Isaac was out meditating, thinking about things. sounds like Rebecca's headed toward a godly man too. He lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. You know, he knew what was coming on those camels. He knew where his father Abraham had sent his servant. He says, "Wow, I'm going to get married. I'm going to get married." You can imagine, he was human. He was sitting there saying he'd never seen this girl. He didn't have any clue what Eliezer's taste in girls would be. I mean, he could have, you know, brought back somebody weighing 500 pounds, you know, saying, "Yeah, she's going to last a while." He didn't know. But God is good. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camels, and she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. Even back then, this was the custom, put a veil over her face. And at this point, you know, nowadays, you know, the women wear a veil on their wedding day. This girl wore a veil. He never even got to see her face until they were married. How would you like that? You never even get to see what the girl looks like until you're married. Verse 66, "And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Isn't that a wonderful ending to that story? "And he loved her." You know, you can just imagine. You know, you go through all this and we say, you know, how could they do that? Get married without ever seeing or knowing anything about who they are marrying. You know, you got to trust your parents, and in this case, she's got to trust the servant. But you say,